Fight!
Hello, lads and ladies. We are so glad you are here. Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing, what? One old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
And I'm Nolan.
I'm Kenny. I'm confused.
And this is episode 57.
Oh.
Do we need to start this?
We got nothing to say.
It's fine.
No, 57's awesome.
Kenny, you usually like woo or something after my episode number. Yeah, and it always intersects with what I start saying next. So I actually took a break this time and you didn't say anything.
And I started one.
I got stuck this time trying to figure out if 57 was a prime number because my brain.
I think 29 is a prime number and then the next one is like 90 something. Is that how prime numbers work?
That is how prime numbers work. Actually, prime numbers aren't real. I don't think they're
true.
Actual.
That is true. So outside of being a podcast where we talk about prime numbers, this is also a podcast where we talk about video games, past, present, and future. Primarily past, but I think we would be remiss if we were not to address the news that broke this week concerning the introduction of Nintendo Switch.
I tried to do the noise.
Yeah.
The little snap noise.
Yeah, I actually heard that. You are so good at impersonations. Thanks, even dude. if it's objects.
Thanks,
you know?
Dude. Yeah.
Can we give him another object to impersonate?
Sure.
I can do it on the spot.
Okay, how about like a sip of coffee?
Okay, I'll give it my best.
Wow.
That was pretty good.
Round of applause for Nolan, guys.
I'm impressed. Thanks, guys.
Kenny, when I ask for a round of applause, you do it with.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Next time, next time.
Nintendo
Switch is a new gaming system, guys. I'm sure you've heard the news. Kenny, probably less so because you live outside. You live in your own world. Let's just say it that way. But
some pop culture seeps in. I know it's coming up soon.
Are you guys? I don't know about soon, but they just released the information about it. Just announced it. Oh, really?
It's crazy soon. It's March next year, which I'm so hyped. Wow.
Nintendo doesn't play.
No, they don't. They don't play. And it's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, so it's Nintendo's first portable system.
I'm so offended right now.
But it is their first portable console, which is, first
for
anything.
Well, if you think about it, every console is portable.
Well, let's just say...
And every portable system is a console.
Sure, but it's not a...
And every portable console system.
So basically, Nolan is wrong. That's what we've learned.
No. This is going to be a big deal because you can play. Well, first of all, Skyrim is featured in the trailer, And then two, you'll be able to play that anywhere. So, yeah, that's definitely different than a 3DS, Kenny.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
In my opinion, it's going to come down to this. Or I think probably three things, if I can come up with them. One, what's the battery life? Two,
yes, that's a big
can the hardware handle games like Skyrim? Seriously, that's a question we need to ask. And then number three, will they have significant and sufficient third-party support? Those are my three concerns.
And number four, with electronics across the board right now, will it explode and injure people?
I'll address all those. I am worried about battery life as well. That was my main question as I was watching the trailer. I was like, okay, how long would this last?
Because when I sit down and play Skyrim, I'm not going to get up for at least 3 to 4 hours.
Right, 3 to 4 days. And then
just creating your character.
Exactly.
I do think it will be able to push these games graphically because this has been codenamed the NX for until the other day when it was announced, and they've been talking about how the NX will push the graphics that they've never really ventured in. Like, Nintendo really never... cared to get in the AAA titles and all that.
Right.
So they claim this one's going to be pretty good, and they showcase Skyrim, so maybe. What was the other concern?
Third-party support
as far as indie developers and stuff like that?
Yeah, that just other developers and people that are creating or mods or anything like that.
Yeah, I'd probably say no. I'd probably say we're still in Nintendo world with that.
Yeah.
Unless they're surprising us. I mean,
they tend to keep their... toys pretty close to their chest.
But, with Skyrim, obviously, guys, the reason people are still playing it today is not because it had such a compelling story, which kind of sucked, the story, but it's because of the hundreds of mods that came out for that game that made it what it is in history. So, are you just anyone that plays it on there is going to be playing it vanilla?
I would say at first.
So. Yeah.
With the new special edition coming out very soon, less than a week, which I'm also hyped for, that's like bringing mod support to PS4 and Xbox. So like, yeah, I think at first they probably won't have that, but still, vanilla, I don't know. Vanilla Skyrim's still fun to me. I don't know.
Absolutely.
That may just be
it's
me.
It's a great game.
It is. And then Kenny's thing about...
is it going to blow up?
It's not going to blow up. Don't leave it in the sun. But, like, you shouldn't do that. So if it blows up,
it's your
fault.
Shouldn't do that anyways. Yeah. Well, Nintendo always takes big risks, and they usually pay off. So we'll see if they do with the Nintendo Switch. But that's not always promised when you take big risks.
You're looking for a segue here and not finding it?
You might just get shot by alien hordes if you take big risks.
That's a terrible.
I'll accept it. I mean, what else? How are you going to segue to this?
No, that might be a new low.
Kind of like in our retro game of the week. Guys, I was just wanted to talk about Nintendo Switch. Had no connection.
That's fine. Let's do it.
Let's talk about Space Invaders.
Overview. So Space Invaders is a really old game.
End of story. See ya.
That's it.
That's all you need to know.
No, it came out in 1978. So predates all of us by like more than half a decade in like existence at all. And was an arcade title released by... The Japanese names always get me.
You got it.
By Tomohiro Nishikado. What'd you think? Was that good?
The designer of the game?
The creator.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's fine. I'll take that.
Okay. And then put out originally in Japan by Taito, and then later was a Midway title. And was, you know, an arcade cabinet. I think the very, very first versions actually were like a tabletop, but anyway, arcade cabinet generally. Yep. And, the premise of the game is very basic, being that early. It literally is like a pioneering video game in a lot of ways. And a horde of space invaders, if I recall right, 55 at a time, are like descending onto the Earth. And you are controlling a ship that shoots lasers at them. And your job is to decimate these hordes of aliens before they get to Earth and, wreak havoc. Pretty straightforward. You're moving a character sideways, left and right, and shooting things vertically, and these things are, you know, progressively moving further and further down the screen and accelerating the pace that they're moving at you based on the level that you're on, how long you've been playing, and how many space invaders are left on the screen. That's pretty much it. Like, this one's such a basic game.
Yeah, there's no story. I mean, there's no story there.
Yeah, like, if there was ever a game that, like, you could have, like, literally learned the whole game in, like, 4 minutes.
Right.
If you picked it up and tried to play it at all, not only is it so common, so many versions of it, and so simple that it's something that can be very, very easily emulated and everything else. This is one that if you wanted to play it this week, you could have played it easily, and it would have taken you no time at all to kind of figure out the entirety of the game.
Yeah, so two things. One, if you wanted to play it this week, you could have easily.
Absolutely.
Anyone can pick this game up in, like Kenny said, 4 minutes. You know what the game is.
Right.
You're not going to find out different things 10 minutes.
You've even finished
the
complete playthrough.
Right, exactly. So, number two, if this is a game that you played all week long or multiple days, it's only because you actually enjoyed it, or you're one of those that were going for a high score. It wasn't to discover new content, because
right,
you discovered all the content that the game has to offer within 4 minutes. Four is even pushing.
Oh yeah,
you
within 45
seconds,
maybe. Exactly. Yeah,
it's very
crazy.
Apparent.
But every single person, I think gamer or not, knows something about Space Invaders. Like something. Like,
absolutely.
I think you can compare it to, if you see a yellow ball moving around eating pellets and fling from ghosts, most people are going to say that's Pac-Man. Likewise, I think if a lot of people see a crudely drawn ship firing missiles vertically at a block of descending aliens, they might not be able to know the title necessarily, but they will know that it's Space Space Invaders. Absolutely. It's that iconic.
I would say it's probably not quite as iconic as the Pac-Man games, just because art and everything and like crazy popular. But it's definitely super, super iconic. You still see those like alien representations in pixel art and like
yes,
a lot of places as like yeah. classic video game visual, you know?
Right. I would say Galaga may be more common, like yeah. more noticeable to someone who's not a gamer.
There's
the name,
few, but,
at least.
But
like,
not many.
If you look at this game, you're tempted to call it Galaga because it's the same premise.
Right.
Well, okay, so we're talking about 1978, and it's this game, Space Invaders, is often cited as the earliest shooting game. Like, did you hear that? That's the
yeah,
entire
that's
sentence.
Crazy.
So let me just repeat that. It wasn't necessary. I think there may have been one predecessor, maybe a second, but this is widely considered the earliest shooting game. Like, let that do something to your mind, that this was the game that began shooting
mm-hmm.
in video game history.
Yeah.
That's hard to process.
That is kind of crazy.
So it first came out on the arcade machine, but by the end of 1982, it had grossed $2 billion in quarters, making it the best-selling video game of its time.
No.
And then... And then Atari 2600 was the first home console that received the game, and it was the first title to sell 1 million cartridges. So, like, it
blew
broke
up.
So many records, or even just
Absolutely.
Began them, because it was one of the premier games in gaming history. It's ridiculous with the kind of history that this game itself yeah. has.
We would be really hard pressed to find a game that was like. Ultimately more influential, or like foundationally more influential at like proving appetite for video games and at proving some of the new things that this game did had merit, and definitely as a game today, again, so simple that like there's replayability value, you know, in sort of trying to be challenged and improving, but like the premise is so simple and straightforward that to me the process of getting to like know this game and reading about its history and its impact were the things that were most interesting to me this week, not playing the game itself.
I didn't realize that the game had won that many or broken that many records. And it makes me wonder, since it's so old, if back then when they saw that those kinds of results, if this was when they realized that the potential of video games and the money that it could make and like appealing to the masses. I wonder if this was kind of when they were like, oh my goodness, let's keep doing this.
Yeah, and reading about the history, it surely sounds that way, because
it's crazy.
And like, if you're listening to this right now, it's hard for us even in words to express the impact that this game had on the gaming industry as a whole. Even saying those numbers, even talking about an 82 $2 billion gross
in quarters
alone.
Yeah, exactly.
In quarters, that weighs at least 25
Which
pounds,
means, I mean, do the math. Like $2 billion, like dollars worth of quarters, means that you had what 8 billion quarters placed into arcade machines to play this game.
It's crazy.
My math is right there, right?
Four
quarters to a dollar, and then you know.
No, I think you're off. I think it's five quarters to a dollar. But
oh,
suffice it to say, Space Invaders might be the sole defining title of video games as a whole. Not just for shooter games or other games in the sci-fi genre, but for all video games that came after it.
It's so hard to process.
Yeah, you
really
can't
is.
Say that about... I'm making the statement in the sense that you can't say it about any other game. There are other games that definitely had an impact in gaming history. But in knowing some of the history and reading up this week and seeing some of the stats, like, this might be the game that really was the spark that lit the rest of gaming history as we know it. And it's crazy to process.
It's crazy.
We've talked about like what the game is a little bit in a broad sense and some of its impact. Why don't we, even though, again, it will be pretty short, why don't we get into talking about gameplay?
Gameplay.
So you shoot up at aliens. All right, let's move into an age section and talk about...
Shortest gameplay ever.
No,
All
right, let's just... A little more detail.
Go, Nolan.
You've got... So, as Kenny said, there's 55, you're green, the background is black, enemies are white. You've got 55 Space Invaders, and they are lined up in different rows, and they just move slowly back and forth across the screen, and they get closer and closer to you, and you have to shoot them all before they get to you, but they're also shooting at you. There's a couple different projectiles. One's like a, it looks like a cross, and it goes a little slower than the squiggly line that they shoot. And yeah, you've got four barriers at the bottom that you can destroy, like you can damage them.
And the enemies can
too. And the enemies can as well, but you can hide behind them. They're
kind of shields.
Yeah, they catch your bullets or the enemy's bullets.
Yeah. Which I got rid of them on my own because they kind of made me mad. But
no, they're supposed to be good for you to protect you.
We'll see when we talk about our high scores if that worked out for me. You have three lives at the beginning, and if you... Do you get one every time you beat the stage? Is that the trend, or do you have to reach a certain score? I couldn't tell.
I think you get it at a couple of points, if I recall, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's points, and in the base game, you just get the extra life at one of the early, like at 1,000 or 1,500, and mm-hmm. then you're not supposed to get lives after that.
Okay,
but,
yeah, because at one point I had four.
Versions after that, a lot of them give some extra lives based on mile markers along the way.
Gotcha. But yeah, that's what the screen looks like. And we talked about high score, and that's kind of the only like replayability this thing has going for it, but that's kind of the point. I mean, we're talking about an arcade game here. So like,
and that was always the challenge, especially in like early and classic arcades. It wasn't just play the game, it was play the game and get good enough at it that you could stick those initials in that high score list and come back and brag to your buddies, you know?
But again, it makes me ask the question, was this the first game to do that?
I don't think that's the case. In the little bit of reading I did, that wasn't something that was pointed out as one of the novelty things. I think, you know, tracking scores was probably a fairly common thing, but it definitely is the only thing that would sort of be your incentive to move on. Gotcha. Even like level to level, even when you clear a level, the next levels aren't like different. Right, but that's what I'm saying. It's not even like levels.
Not even
like
levels.
You clear it all, and then you
and then
do
they
it
just
again.
Come back.
Right.
Yeah, and I think they move faster, right? I mean, they move faster the next time they come back. But there's nothing that's changed. It's the same graphical representation, the same music. Although the music has sped up some, which that was fun and novel at the time. But there's no stages. It doesn't go to a new stage. Doesn't change color scheme. Doesn't do anything different outside of the enemies or the aliens descend at a quicker pace.
Yeah.
Which I didn't fully read up on this, but the. Anecdotally, at least, in some of the stuff I was looking at, it seems like that was sort of a almost bonus mechanic or something that was sort of discovered as he was programming the game. That's how early this game was. You know, like we're talking literally programmed onto arcade boards. And as you got less enemies on the screen, as you were shooting enemies, the processing power was able to move those enemies more rapidly. So the effect of like... Instead of per level, everything speeding up, but like throughout the level, it speeding up the more people you killed is something that I think happened sort of accidentally based on
That's
just
really
like
funny.
Hardware limitations. And the guy was like, oh, this is cool. The level gets more, you know, difficult as you progress. Let's leave it like that. You know, let's just make that how the game works, which is really neat.
It's interesting.
But honestly, outside of those few things, guys, I mean, we don't have to stretch it just for the sake of having a lengthy gameplay section. And honestly, having a shorter one might do better at representing the simplicity
Absolutely.
Of this.
It's a straightforward game and was huge because of how early it was and what it did, but isn't something that was like, you know, relative to anything with any level of complexity that we'd think about. In the 80s and beyond in gaming.
Yeah, and if you question it, whether or not we came prepared for this podcast, I assure you we did. Go play the game and you'll discover. In regards to the gameplay, what we discussed in your characters and shields being green, the enemies being white and descending and you trying to get a high score, that That is the game. I guess I can add one other thing. The creators of this game was actually they were inspired by the War of the Worlds and mm-hmm. Star Wars. So it's got that theme. In fact, so much so that the aliens themselves were created to look like some of the aliens that were mentioned in War of the Worlds. They're kind of octopus-like features, and so that was some of the design that went into this, some of the love and attention to even the detail on the alien figures that were placed into that, and were done so to in part give these gamers some sort of anxiety or stress like to scare them into wanting to demolish these aliens as quickly as possible, which just goes into the gameplay just a little bit.
One last thing I've got to mention, because like I know Nolan is always the like music guy, but even as crazy simple, just because again hardware limitations more than anything, of what this music was, just kind of that one loop that repeats over and over, the way this game used music was supposed to be almost revolutionary, in that games of the time like would have a title track and then it would stop and you would get sound effects. Like, that's all you got. So the fact that music actually played through as a background was already revolutionary, where, like, music and sound effects mixing to create your environment. And then the music changing as the gameplay changes, you know, speeding up as the intensity speeds up. Like, nobody did that kind of stuff. And it was, you know, very, very simple. They literally couldn't do a lot with it. But with the limited resources that he had, really did some unique cutting edge things for what was available at the time. And that's just neat to point out.
Aged. Now guys, let's talk about the age of this game. It's aged. It's 1978 when it came out to 2016 when we're recording this podcast right now. So there's some years there. Kenny, you pointed out at the start of this episode that it is much older than all of us that are a part of this podcast. So guys, what did you think about the age of Space Invaders?
Well, now that we've talked about the impact it's had and on gaming in general, I can kind of rip into the game and how it's not fun, at least not for me. So it's kind of interesting to know that they sold so many copies and pushed the boundaries and yada yada yada.
This thing that seems like so boring by mm-hmm. our standards today was revolutionary in some ways. Yeah.
And I know that it is because I came a long way after and many strides had been made, Nintendo's around, but still, you know, I can't lie. I don't think it's aged well. It's still very retro feeling. And if you like that, then I mean, this is your game. But
I think you can have retro feeling in games and have it still age well. And,
oh, for sure.
But I don't. I agree with you, man. And I'm interested to see what Kenny thinks because I agree with you completely. I think the age in this game is felt considerably and. I do think, though, at some point you go back far enough in time with some of these games that when they started making them, they were just so limited in what they were able to produce. So it's not even sure. like their fault that the game has aged so poorly. You know, it's just the nature of games itself. But that being said, and I don't remember the age difference here, Pac-Man, I think it's probably aged well, that there are versions of it today and that there are reasons to still play it. And I know we're comparing maybe apples and oranges here, but when it comes to Space Invaders, the same gameplay every single time and the lack of story, lack of changing from level to level. Like Kenny said, 4 minutes in, I was like, okay, I mean, I got it. Like, I wish there was some kind of evolution here, some kind of adaptation, but that's not even on the game. It's just got to be on the age. But for me, I felt that, and it was considerable.
Yeah, I think, like, there are a lot of retro games that can be good games. For some reason, I feel like this one crossed a threshold in my mind. We're like, this wasn't just a retro game, this was a historic game. Like, all of the value to me was in like how this game came out and was interesting. But like the game itself, again, is just so simple and so repetitive that unless you're just one of those to really want to beat that specific challenge, it doesn't offer much. And so I've got to echo what you said, Dustin. Like there are older games, and again, like technology was increasing rapidly, and it is maybe not even apples to oranges, but like apples to applesauce at least. Like, you know, arcade games are slightly different from each other, but there are, you know, titles that are classic arcade titles that are fun and replayable. And this one can't even be there to me. And so I have to almost just look at it differently and say this is one that like is a historic game and is interesting. But I'd agree ultimately with Nolan. The game itself isn't especially fun.
I've just gotta like have respect for the guy who created it, because this was the 70s. Like, think about that.
Absolutely.
So the fact that he pulled it off at all blows my mind, that he programmed a arcade box, you know, to do this.
Yeah.
And he did it creatively at the time.
Yeah, and creatively and successfully.
And right. Sold that much. So love that. And that makes me happy. However, I would never play it. Like, and for me, it wasn't how repetitive it was. It was the actual game. Like, as soon as I started it, I was like, don't want to really play this. So that's a lot of just my preference.
Yeah. And hey, let me ask, did you push through those first impressions though? Because doing what we do, we've got to push past that initial feeling, and we've actually got to try it. And I know you don't have to spend 30 minutes or even or an hour or anything on it like that, but when you push through, you still felt the same.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I spent time on it and I wanted to see what my high score could get to. That at least gave me some drive. So I actually didn't think about that. I've got to give it credit for making me want to see if I could beat you guys, which I probably didn't, because when I was done, I was done. By the way, mine was 18,880.
I don't know that I even thought to look, which is interesting. Yeah. I should have.
No, you definitely beat mine, but because the version that I was playing maxed out before 10,000.
Oh, weird.
So I maxed out at whatever it was, so that I wasn't getting any more points. So I was just like, all right. And that's another
literally
layer
no
of,
point if that, anymore.
If that was the quote unquote feature of the first version, that it maxes out at like 9,000 something, then that's a problem.
Right.
Yeah. Overall, I think the age is so in your face that it makes the game just unenjoyable.
Absolutely. It to me though, even some of the perspective of like even some of these early 80s titles that we play that to us, again in retrospect, feel quote unquote really old. If you think about how much progress some of those games are versus something that came out in the late 70s, like you can see that this is something that was progressing rapidly even then. You know, and it's that pace that has continued that today has us playing games in, you know, 4K and in virtual environments and in things that, like, at that point would have felt like science fiction.
So I think we all owe Space Invaders a big thank you for what it's meant and done for games at large. But does that translate to an affirmative vote for New Game Plus status? We will find out after the break.
The final shell shock.
All right, so do we give this game our vote for New Game Plus status? That means, do we say to our viewers, find a copy, play a copy, enjoy it, because it's worth doing so. Simple as that. I'll begin, and I'll just tell you guys up front, like, I don't know, because on one hand, I have to give it New Game Plus status because of what it's done for gaming, period, but also no, because it's not a game that I feel holds up well, and there's not much to it. It's like, to me, it's kind of like Pong, right? Like, it's an all right game and it's fun. It's revolutionary, but I don't think that it's one where everyone needs to find it and play it and that they'll enjoy it when they do so. So I'm really stuck. You've already kind of given your opinion in regards to its age, but I really thought about just flipping a coin, but to be fair, I know that wouldn't, that I feel like that wouldn't be my true opinion, although that's kind of where I am. Like, there's parts of me that want to say yes, parts of me that want to say no, but there's more parts of me that want to say no.
Which parts?
And so as much as people are going to hate us probably for not giving this game our new game plus status, maybe we can at least go out in solidarity. We'll see. Nolan?
Nah, bruh.
Any other comment?
I've pretty much said what I need to say. I think that I need to really have fun with a game to recommend it, and that's basically what this is recommendation. So appreciate it and love what it did for gaming, but you don't need to play it. You're fine.
Yeah. All right. So far, well, I mean, the final nail has already gone into the coffin as we work with majority around here, but Kenny?
It's done, but I'll stick a slightly hopeful note in there. Only because you can fully experience everything this game has to offer in less than 5 minutes, and it's accessible easily to anyone. You can find a way to play it in a browser, you can find it on a million different consoles, you can get the taste of it really, really easily, only coupling those truths with the fact that it also was historically significant. I'm going to say it's worth people picking up and going, okay, I get it. When I see the Space Invaders okay. logo, I get it. You probably won't have a lot of fun with this game. I'd say that with reservations, but because literally it will cost our viewers almost nothing, I'm going to go ahead and say that it gets New Game Plus from me.
Wah, wah.
Partly because I've got the liberty of doing that because you guys have already said no. So
I will say that if I played this on a cabinet, on an arcade cabinet, I think I'd have like,
A lot
more fun, and I don't know how to explain why, but I just know that I would.
If we teleported back to 1979, and we were in a pizza parlor, and it was, you know, this game was new, like, we'd be drooling over it and wasting quarters, for sure, but...
Yeah,
probably a billion or two.
Yeah.
2 billion.
I've, you know, 8 billion quarters between the three of us. I am good at math.
There's four of us there, actually. So this game, Space Invaders, does not get our vote for New Game Plus status. Basically, we thought it was a butterface. Everything was good about her butterface, and so we really didn't enjoy playing the game. But maybe you did, and if you did, we completely understand. I mean, there's so much history here. We appreciate the game for what it is. It's got a great personality.
It's not you, it's me.
We got two of our faithful viewers that wrote us in this week. Zion, he said, this is Zion. I don't know if this is the place to contact you about the game of the week.
It is.
It is.
Don't read that.
But I found the original Space Invaders on my iPad, and I bought it, and I went to my local pizza castle and played for several hours.
Yeah.
I love that he bought it, then went to his local
pizza
castle.
That is the place you'd want to play it. Right? Yeah.
He said, I don't remember it being so hard, but it was fun and reminded me of a better time.
That's actually, like, that's fair. Legitimately, like, as much as we knock this game being simple and repetitive, it's not easy. Not. The difficulty ramps up pretty quickly.
Yeah, sure. If you want to say something,
it's a great quality
it.
Of the game.
No, it really
Thank
does.
Thank you, Zion, for your email. Holden also emailed us, and he said, I loved it. There's really nothing else to say. And then he goes on to say some more stuff. He says, sure, it's old. Sure, it's clunky. Sure, it's frustrating. But there's not one person on the earth that can't take this game seriously. When your purpose as a game is to give a few minutes of fun before you eat, then it's not hard to be great. Definitely not the best game out there, but definitely worth the try. There's not a lot you can do on this game, yet I found myself playing over and over again for hours.
You're lying, and you're wrong.
He's not lying nor wrong. You don't have to be so abrasive. You know this game has purpose in the gaming world.
I feel like Holden may be that guy who, like, when he got in trouble at school and had to, like, write lines of just, like, one sentence repetitively, he kind of gets into the flow
so
and was like, I really
it.
Like this sentence. Like, this is some good literature.
Like, the first sentence, first two sentences summed it up, and that's what he came to write, and then he's like, I've got to hit at least 250 characters.
Yeah, let's
so
keep it
he
going.
Just starts. No, but really appreciate it. Zion and Holden, the two of our NGP viewers that wrote in this week, gave their thumbs up for the game, along with Kenny. However, Nolan and Dustin are party poopers and decided that the game is not going to get our vote.
Never.
So we are doing something special this week. We typically randomly select a video game from our Retro Master list that you guys have so generously suggested games for, and it's a very, very large list now, probably close to 100 games. Absolutely. If we haven't topped that.
And pretty diverse in game style, and yeah, 8 billion.
But what we're doing this week, we actually decided to do this a month or two ago when we were putting together our Patreon rewards. And one of those levels and everything past that and those that are supporting us, we decided to do a Patreon pool every once in a while. So every 4 or 5 episodes, we're going to go to our Patreon supporters and we're going to ask of them to submit 1 or 2 games from the Retro Master list to go into a much smaller pool. And then we will randomly select from that pool. And so we've done that this week and have a small number of retro video games to select from.
How many?
Awesome.
Is it one?
No, we've got more than one. And okay. We've even got more than two.
Okay, we have three.
Here's the thing, we've got more Patreon supporters that could have submitted their vote this week, but we only had two guys do so, which is completely fine by me. That's within the rules. And so two of our viewers have given and supported us, and they've also submitted 3 games. And from that list, we're going to pull our next retro game of the week.
Sweet. It just means their opinions are going to weigh super heavily, and that's either exciting or scary, depending on the mood that they were in.
And that's very true, because one of the games that were suggested was Shaq Fu, just to try to give us a horrible week. But that wasn't the game that was selected. Good. The game that was selected is a 1993, another sci-fi game, but this one is horror-themed, and it is an FPS video game. What is it, you ask? Well, I will tell you right after the break. No, this game is Doom.
Okay, wow. Pretty classic title.
Yeah, I'm fairly classic, like, I would say.
Understatement of the episode.
I'm excited. I love the original Doom.
Let's just say this. Since it's a shooter game, I guess it took its notes from a game called Space Invaders, the original shooter.
Developers could have not played the game and still made a fine shooter.
Please find a copy of Doom this week, guys. This is going to be one of the easiest games to find, whether you have your Atari Jaguar or you've got a PlayStation, Sega Saturn, Xbox 360, PC, iOS, anything, you'll be able to play this game. So do play along with us this week. And as you do so, send us your thoughts and your commentary to be featured on next week's Patreon-supported episode. You can find us on social media, Facebook or Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can email us at ngppodcast@gmail.com. Listen to us directly week by week on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, any podcast provider. Subscribe to us so that you are the first ones to get NGP episodes. If you want to find out more about what it means to support NGP and how you can get some of these benefits, go to patreon.com/NGP podcast. That's patreon.com, patreon.com/NGP podcast.
Thank you, Bradley and Zion, our two producers and honorary patrons. Speaking of Patreon.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys, for making the episode happen, and we love you.
Join us next week as we play Doom. Until then, I'm Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus.